This is Reverend Bookburn, and when I'm not counseling Senator David Diaperman Vitter or Pastor Ted Methman Hager, I'm broadcasting at VoltaRadio.com, Sunday nights, 9 to 11 or so, East Coast Time, USA, at VoltaRadio.com.
This is Nurse Ratched. When I'm not fucking over the poor, our patients, people with AIDS, or drug addictions, or mental illness, or social workers, or humane service providers, or sucking on Satan's cock, I listen to The Reverend Is In.
Testicle 1-2. Yes, big denial. Microphone is working. And over here, the weapon of mass destruction is working. And the big John Holmes phallic microphone, porn star microphone is working. So, ready anytime you guys are. These guys are in a very curious state of being in preparation for the Halloween show. I'm ready now. Good evening. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight, we fulfill another sacred annual holiday tradition. Tonight is the Halloween show, and in addition to celebrating Halloween and weed, this year's Halloween is also a celebration of the freedom, at least as much as a person can be free these days, of our lifelong friend, longtime book burner, and one of the coolest people on earth, Mr. Z. He is no longer a war on weed prisoner, and he's no longer in a halfway house. He no longer has that non-consensual piece of ankle bondage on his body, and he's free to work and work on his projects and all that he's going to do. So we're going to celebrate Mr. Z's freedom and Halloween and have a great killer music playlist, as well as all the stuff that we have to cover. This is also the last show before Erection Day. Well, it's both. It's Erection Day and it's Election Day. And as if you didn't know that, as if you weren't, you know, saturated with ads, mostly paid by billions of dollars from the Koch brothers, another reprehensible fascists who are wanting to manipulate so that the corporate party that's even more of a corporate party and two extremes, Bush revivalists, so that they get their psycho Tea Party candidates to totally finish the job of fucking everything up. So anyway, a lot to cover, a lot of music, and let's get started with Rush Limbaugh, Rush the Limp Man, who not only had his own drug controversy, despite the fact that he believed that he advocated publicly that people with drug convictions should get endless years and throw away the key and all of that. He had his own OxyContin scandal. And then he was busted for returning from a third world vacation from a country that's like one of the highest in sex tourism. And he had illegally obtained, I think it was a forged prescription, large quantities of Viagra, which is interesting because you can imagine the inner turmoil of a conservative and a racist sneaking to a third world country with as much Viagra as he could get his hands on. But that's another discussion. And actually, we did a whole show on that. But anyway, this is Rush Limbaugh. It's not really Rush Limbaugh. It's a track from Al Franken's CD, The O'Franken Factor. And the songwriters and musicians are Wayne Lammers and Pete Levin. And they are acting like they are Rush Limbaugh. And they are singing a song on Rush's behalf entitled My Drugs Are Red, White, and Blue.
I'm Rush the Magic Dragon, the right-wing drugstore cowboy, a hillbilly heroin addict, a ditto-head deadhead now boy. You know that my opinions were always kind of whack. Now you know the reason. I'm strung out on mountain smack. My drugs are red, white, and blue. I also like the pink ones, the little green ones too. When you're on drugs, you see things that no one else can see. Like right there, I saw Jesus, and he drives an SUV. My drugs are red, white, and blue. Would you hand all the guns out to someone sniffing glue? You gotta be on something if you push the NRA. I need more pills to make that Michael Moore guy go away. My drugs are red, white, and blue. This isn't paranoia. John Ashcroft's watching you. When you're on drugs, there's terrorists everywhere you go. Al Franken's in Al-Qaeda. Bill O'Reilly told me so. My drugs are red, white, and blue. When you hear junkies jiving, just what percent is true? Kids say no to morphine, cause it can lead to grass. It really blows your mind when your head is up your ass. My drugs are red, white, and blue. GOP party monsters party all night through. It's only pharmaceuticals, it's not a real crime. The crime is I can't figure out how to blame it on the Clintons this time.
Listen to this, Mulligan. I'll read it to you. It says, I have escaped from Arkham Asylum, and revenge will be sweet. Free once again to pursue my dishonorable profession. If you try to play your hand against mine, you will find the Joker is wild. Signed, the Joker.
then all of a sudden someone who knows me, answering the question, why did she...
Nobody knows.
One nation under God has turned into one nation under the influence of one drug. The master of that medium, the president of the U.S. of A. C.
Television,
drug in the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation.
Television,
drug in the nation,
drug in the nation,
breeding ignorance and feeding radiation. Why less than 10% of our nation reads books daily? Why most people think Central America means Kansas? Communism means un-American, and apartheid is a new headache remedy.
Television,
the drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation.
Television,
drug of the nation,
the nation,
breeding ignorance and feeding radiation.
TV,
the stomping ground for political candidates, where bears in the woods are chased by Grecian formula bald eagles, where all you need to do to get elected is to make monkey movies. Just ask Clinton Ryan. And where states in your mouth are more important than the words that come out of it.
On television,
the drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation.
Television,
drug of the nation,
drug of the nation,
breeding ignorance and feeding radiation.
Suddenly realize that they may have taken something
when
they were pregnant.
The
channel?
I beg your pardon.
TV!
It's a place with self-canceling phrases like fresh frozen, pop art, and military intelligence have become standard.
TV!
It's a place where words are redefined like talk to the freedom fighter.
Sandinista to aggressive regime.
All politics!
Television,
This is Halliburton, Ernie. And it's so good to be here tonight with Reverend Bookburn and Pastor Whoremaster and John the Craptist. And it's so good to see them after their advanced planning and preparation for Halloween. And to see them giggling and acting simple. And we're going to play a very special tune in honor of the release of weed prisoner Mr. Z. And to all the people who are promoting a change in the utterly insane marijuana laws from normal New Jersey to the West Coast, yes, on Proposition 19 organizers. This is a track from 1972, recorded by David Peel, with guests John Lennon and Yoko Ono, who produced the album of the same title. This is entitled, The Pope Smokes Dope.
It's a beautiful place, the village. The kids are still coming from out of town to the village, and they're singing. There's a nice guy singing the Smoke Pope, the Pope Smokes Dope, and so, all the sort of songs in Washington Square. It was beautiful, you know what I mean?
The Pope Smokes Dope! The Dope Smokes Pope! The Pope Smokes Dope!
The Pope Smokes Dope! God gave him the grass. The Pope Smokes Dope! He likes to smoke in mass. The Pope Smokes Dope! He's a groovy head. The Pope Smokes Dope! The Pope Smokes Dope! Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Guy is high on masculine, faith seems high as back. Popes in Rome get stoned on grass, Jesus freaks out back. Jesus Christ, a super hippie, never shut up chunk. Popes in Rome get stoned alone, priests in church get drunk. The Pope smokes dope, God give him the grass. The Pope smokes dope, he likes to smoke a man. The Pope smokes dope, he's a groovy head. The Pope smokes dope, the Pope smokes dope. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Taking pills is not a joke for a groovy pope. Birth control can be a joke of marijuana smoke. The Pope smokes dope. Guy gave him the grass. The Pope smokes dope. He likes to smoke an ass. The Pope smokes dope. He's a groovy head. The Pope smokes dope. The Pope smokes dope. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Just watching my TV, there's something that the newsman can't explain to me. Maybe I'm just paranoid as I set my reefer down. If there's a war on drugs going on, how come they're all around? But we're winning the war on drugs. We're winning the war on drugs. Praise the Lord and pass the bomb. We're winning the war on drugs. You can grow them in your backyard or score them off the thugs.
Put your hands against the car, we're winning the war on drugs. Tony scored 10 kilos from a pair of shiny black shoes, with an eagle in his haircut and an earphone on his tongue. After he got busted, he couldn't make no bail, 'cause we're making money off the stash. Bill Hicks and the laughter he creates, by burning all your records 'cause the artists were all bait. On this earth there's flowers, fungus, herbs, and weeds to take, if those things are legal. Then God made a mistake. But we're winning the war on drugs. We're winning the war on drugs. Praise the Lord.
God's name. Hey, this is Deborah.
And Keith.
From the band Davey. And you're listening to Reverend Bookburn on The Reverend Is In at VoltaRadio.com.
Providing a moral support for indie bands and media since 2001.
Starting to get very depressed, so I went to the Kiev and ate breakfast. Then as I walked down 2nd Avenue towards St. Mark's Place, where all those people sell used books and other junk on the street, I saw my penis lying on a blanket next to a broken toaster oven. Some guy was selling it. I had to buy it off him. He wanted $22, but I talked him down to $17. I took it home, washed it off, and put it back on. I was happy again. Complete. People sometimes tell me I should get it permanently attached, but I don't know. Even though sometimes it's a pain in the ass, I like having a detachable penis.
Do so.
Hello.
Very simple.
Hello.
Song. You'll catch on to it as we go along.
I like marijuana. I like marijuana. I like marijuana. I sure do like to get stoned. Yeah. Oh. I like marijuana. I
shut. And when the final comes, it comes up in the sunny hide and run and hope and pray that I look at what they have had. Got too many fucked plastic guns to kill your brother, something that he hasn't even done. Sponges ruin it, battles, and I'm sorry they come on the high ground. Your life will open everyone. We all have it up above. Professional perish in the depths of hell. How good hell really was. God love, son of God. But all the evidence is hell. But all the evidence is hell. But all the evidence is hell.
Okay, you heard Bad Religion doing Fuck Armageddon, This Is Hell, and Damned to Be Free. Before Bad Religion, you heard Country Joe and the Fish doing a live version of I Like Marijuana. King Missile did Detachable Penis. From the band Davey, you heard the Volta Radio Station ID and the Reverend Is In promo. From Artist Unknown, although it's rumored to have been Joan Osborne, and also rumored that Weird Al Yankovic had a hand in it, but we'll still say Artist Unknown because we don't know. And Artist Unknown did What If God Smokes Cannabis. The Asylum Street Spankers did Winning the War on Drugs from their classic Spanker Madness CD, and they are on their farewell tour right now. David Peel did The Pope Smokes Dope from the album of the same title on Apple Records, produced by John Lennon and Yoko Ono. The Beatniks did Television from the soundtrack of Terminal City Ricochet, a film finally released for the first time since it showed in theaters around 1990. The DVD is out, and a re-release of the soundtrack at AlternativeTentacles.com. Man or Astro Man did Joker's Wild, and Wayne Lammers and Pete Levin, playing Rush Limbaugh, started off with My Drugs Are Red, White, and Blue. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight we're doing Halloween and Mr. Z's Freedom Celebration. And yes, we are doing fucking backflips, that he is free. Although, like him, we're still rattled that there are any prisoners of weed. Now, nonviolent drug offenders comprise of over 50% of all incarcerated people in America, which is, and in a nation, in terms of developed nations, as they're called, or even more laughable, civilized nations, the highest incarceration rate in the world, and within that, more than 50% are nonviolent drug offenders. And that pretty much bites. The only thing that is uplifting is that there is change on the horizon, not just in California, but nationwide. And we want to support that and push things further. And, of course, we want all weed prisoners released. So we are celebrating Mr. Z because he is a longtime friend, great guy, absolutely no danger to the world. He's not an oil baron. He is not a global banker. He is not an armed teabagger. He's kind of like a hippie version of Woody Allen or Gilligan. And I say that as a friend, who is razor sharp, very brilliant. His writings are fantastic. And he has been a lifelong advocate of justice, of peace, and with a environmentalism and with an emphasis on the legalization of marijuana and allowing marijuana to be accessible to people who need it for medicinal use. All right, what are our upcoming shows? We're off next Sunday night, and hence Halloween being this weekend. Next weekend is on October 30th in Washington, D.C., is the Jon Stewart from Comedy Central rally, Rally to Restore Sanity, a fantastic parody in response to the Glenn Beck Klan rally that occurred last August on the anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, and same location. So Stewart, and it's funny because comedians have taken the lead in turning the tide against the rising fascism of the tea bagger kinds of racists and fascists and the Tea Party wing of the Republican Party, which is the majority of the party. And not that we're into corporate parties of any stripe, but they are so extreme and frightening that it is just, it's almost surreal that it's even happening. But anyway, John Stewart is turning them into a fucking joke, into the ultimate joke, through his planning of the rally to restore sanity as a response to Beck's rally to restore honor. Hate rally. And also Stephen Colbert from Comedy Central is doing one. It was going to be like a kind of a counter rally, but I think they're merging them now. Colbert's event is the rally to keep fear alive. And that too is hilarious. And if you don't go to them in Washington, D.C. on October 30th, it'll be shown, I believe, in its entirety on what, Pastor Hormaster? He doesn't know. John Necraptis, you would know. No, not C-SPAN. Comedy Central, of course. All right, so Comedy Central will be showing those rallies, and we're taking off next weekend, and probably either going there or watching them. And in 2 weeks, we will be back to do our next show, which means on November 7th. And no matter which way the elections go on November 2nd, we want to do this theme. And it's not to say that we believe that the teabagger, psycho-fascists, corporate stooges are going to have significant wins, if any, because they're going down fast and fully exposed, way more exposed. This is the difference, just to get on a tangent for a second. In 1994, the first midterms under Bill Clinton, despite the fact that he was such a centrist and corporate kiss-ass and kind of played along with the war machine and raised the CIA budget and the military budget, he was still portrayed as like this wild leftist socialist, blah, blah, blah. You know, kind of like, you know, Goebbels kind of rhetoric and attacks. And the first midterms came, and when they happened, most people didn't vote. The people who were not far right-wing fascists kind of took the day off for hibernation or work. Most people didn't even hear of Newt Gingrich, but he became the Speaker of the House, and his psycho peers were a part of what they were calling at the time the Republican Revolution. And similar to the Pledge of 2010, they wrote up this uber stupid document called The Contract with America and started palling around with Pat Robertson and Ralph Reed's Christian Coalition. And of course, there was after their crazy rhetoric started getting full tilt, these crazy armed militias propped up, the white power groups resurged, all these far right psychos sprung into action, another abortion doctor killed in that time period, actually several. And of course, Timothy McVeigh, the father of the teabaggers, did his act of terrorism at the Oklahoma City building. But now there's advanced warning. Everybody knows what a fucking wingnut John Boehner is. Everybody knows about Rand Paul and Meg Whitman and Joe Miller and Sharon Engel and a fucking list that's out of this world. And of course, the delusional ex-witch, Christine O'Donnell. And so there is a countercurrent. There is a reversal of the tide. Of course, it's unpredictable and there's no guarantees, but it's looking like people are waking up and saying, hey, we're not going to have a fucking future if these total puppets from corporate money and from the Koch brothers and Fox, quote, News, unquote, and Murdoch and Karl Rove and all these other assholes, we're really fucked. And they'll reward, they will continue to reward the outsource companies that leave the country, take money and jobs out of the country, and then they'll fuck you out of your unemployment and your final possibilities of income and survival. Your Social Security, your Medicare, your Medicaid, future child care, and of course the right to choose, because they're going after birth control and abortion as well. So there is advanced warning. And people know that despite the fact that both major parties are corporate parties and Wall Street parties, one is standing for policies that are so extreme, people better not be asleep. People better not hibernate like 1994. And it seems like people are realizing that. So anyway, we are going to be off on the 30th on the Jon Stewart, Stephen Colbert event, which is the day before Halloween. Then whatever happens in the election will happen. And our next show on November 7th will be Surviving Corporate Rule, because we'll still be under it. We just don't know to what extent and to what magnitude the brothel workers for corporate America will take it. We know what it'll be like if the teabaggers get in. It'll be all out corporate hoism and representing the elite and screwing everybody else through these fucking so-called austerity measures. And the people in France and Greece, we salute you for not listening to far-right fascists and racists and knowing who the enemy is and going after them and protesting in the streets and having clarity and knowing what you're fighting for instead of having to fight buffoons who have a massive financial war chest for propaganda and television attack ads. We will be back November 2nd to say Surviving Corporate Rule. Let's see, we will be off most of November, and we will be doing the annual Spanksgiving show. I'm not sure when Thanksgiving is, and I don't celebrate Indian massacres who were massacred by the first illegals. All these fucking people from Europe who came in and brought crime and disease and slaughter and cultural death. But we do celebrate Spanksgiving. And on November 28th, happy Spanksgiving 2010. All right, we did cover some of the subject matter by talking about this coming Erection Day and the corporate propagandists, because there's really no way to not talk about it and not acknowledge it. It's too fucking close. To a heightened state of Bushism and fascism coming to this nation. And I, for one, disbelieve in what they say the polls are saying, because there's like two currents. For one thing, they're saying out of likely voters, whatever the fuck that is, likely voters are supporting the legalization of marijuana in California, Prop 19. Then they say likely voters are supporting the teabag fascists. And even though they're saying it less, and even saying in many places, including Newsweek of all places, they have still been saying that for the last couple of months, that and the independents and the swing voters and women and working class whites and all this shit, the likely voters are supporting the teabag fascists. And even though they're saying it less, I didn't believe that because I thought it can't be both. Yes, there are a lot of knuckleheads who are stoners. And yes, there are a lot of manipulable people who say, yeah, you know, and a lot of people from the marijuana movement who, and this is a permanent embarrassment of the marijuana movement, but a lot of people fell for that whole Ron Paul bullshit. You know, this libertarian, meaning liberty for the corporations to further fuck the lives of virtually everybody. This libertarian, he's really anti-war and he's pro-marijuana. He supports us. We gotta support him. Including Cannabis Culture Magazine. But anyway, we forgive all of that. We assume that most people now know better and know the truth of Ron Paul and his batshit crazy son, Rand Paul. But still, people can get stupid and can get easily duped and can get stoner stupid. So I'm thinking, if the teabaggers are the likely voters and the Prop 19 advocates are likely voters, then how is that going to play out? Like, is it going to be like separate waves? Like, first the fascists show up, you know, with or without their hoods. And then the stoners show up, say, yeah, we're voting for marijuana. And then, like, start, I don't know, listening to these people or being manipulated by them. I have to have enough faith in them and in all people to say that's just not going to happen. You know, but still, I have nightmares when I'm not even sleeping of, like, some guy saying, well, man, I think I'll vote for that guy who plays Nazi dress-up and that dude who wants to gut Social Security in my future. He seems like a really cool guy. So, no. We're going to say that that's not going to happen and that the American people are not going to sit down and insert their crucifixes, but are going to get off their asses and say no to fascism and yes to legalization of marijuana wherever they can. And wherever you are, pay attention to other things like referendums, whether it's about marijuana or something vital like healthcare. Because these same assholes want to repeal health care reform and any other bill that isn't 100% in the butts of the industry giants. All right, getting talked out already, and there's more things to talk about before playing the second set of music. Do we have birthdays or deaths? Two birthdays on October 22nd. One living person and one dead, but we still acknowledge him. October 22nd was the birthday of the late Dr. Timothy Leary, widely credited with making the entire 60s era possible. And certainly marijuana becoming a national phenomenon and not just in beatnik coffee houses and poets gatherings with Allen Ginsberg and the rest of them. And that was on October 22nd, and we're going to play a track from one of his recordings later on. And also, I believe he's still alive, the co-founder of the Black Panther Party in the 60s, the real Black Panther Party, not buffoons who hijacked the name, Bobby Seale, who is the author of Seize the Time. It was also his birthday on October 22nd, and happy birthday to him. And we didn't know this guy, but Tom Bosley, who played the father on Happy Days, he died. And I guess how he's relevant in Philadelphia is he was compared to the father of Rodney, the singer of the Dead Milkmen. There was an issue of Maximum Rock and Roll, the punk fanzine, in which there was an interview, not with any of the Dead Milkmen, but with the parents of Rodney Anonymous, who was the vocalist of the Dead Milkmen. And this was done by Ronald Thatcher of the Philadelphia punk scene. And there were pictures of them in that issue, and just by appearances, he was compared to Tom Bosley. That was not an insult, but just like descriptively. And anyway, the real Tom Bosley passed away, and that kind of like resurfaced all these memories of Rodney, the Dead Milkmen, their families, who used to go to the shows when they were in Philadelphia. And anyway, goodbye to Tom Bosley. Let's see. A shout out to, well, I'm not sure what to call her, but the woman formerly known as Everlasting Godstopper, who no longer uses that name, so don't call her that. But she is working, doing very important work to separate church and state, as much as that's going to happen with all these theocrats and nut jobs running for office, not just O'Donnell in Delaware, but the asswipe governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie, who wants to fund religious schools. He's decimating practically every program, demonizing teachers and unions, but fund religious schools. Anyway, she's doing really great work with the Delaware Valley Americans United Against the Separation of Church and State, which is at dvau.org. dvau.org. All right. More stuff about weed, about prisoners, about Clarence Thomas of the Supreme Court, and other shit on this piece of paper that's barely legible in this dark room. But let's see, Bad Religion CD in the background, that needs to stop, thank you. And let's play a track from the always strange but always delightful Michael Hurley. And a lot of people, a lot of book burners have written in the past saying they had never heard of Michael Hurley before the show, and he wasn't really somebody who got a lot of acknowledgement even during the 60s, but he was great. He was friends with the Holy Modal Rounders and a lot of people from that scene, and has made music and art for years, and I believe still does. This is from, I believe, 1991, and the CD is called Weatherhole, And this track is entitled The National Weed Growers Association.
Oh, we plant, we plant, we plant the seed, and then we grow, grow, grow the weed, and we pull the weed, and we sell the green. We trade some off for kerosene. That's cool juice, boy. When you grow the weed, you gotta hide it away. If it ain't them punks, since they're throwing teeth, pulling my weed and stepping on my bean. So we plant the seed early in the spring. We fertilize with anything, and we haul the water if the rain don't fall. A call on us. It's against the law. We know, you ain't shitting. Ho, ho, ho. But in nature's law, we know, it is written. Grow, grow, grow. It's the poor man's high. In the streets of D.C., it's a rich fool's buy. Now I know it's good herb for you and I. You know I wrote this song while I was high on the weed. If you puff the weed, you're nothing but a slave. Snake charmer school, and the charm school for snakes. A bunch of torpid vipers was laid around shit face.
Thought you could just sneak out of here like the last 8 years never happened, huh? Just leave somebody else holding a bag while y'all ride off into the sunset. Just a gang of white-collar thugs. Chicken hawks that like to play soldier with real live action figures. Lying in your pockets while you bled us dry. And you got the audacity to call yourselves the Grand Old Party? Let me tell you what y'all really are. G.O.P. Stanford. Old peck of woods. If you take away the suit, they're rednecks and hoods. It was never news to us. It was understood that these chicken hawks never up to no good. Got a foot in our ass, knife in our back, sending poor kids off to die in Iraq. While lands of the sorority, war frat, drinking Jaeger mics to hanging out at the gap. Where do I start? There's so many of you I despise. Can I get all the fries to go with the lies? You trying to force feed us and act like you need us. But if you see a Jackson and Smith, you just delete us. Off the boat of rules like you did in Florida. Hijack the nation with your new world order. Couldn't control it back then, John McCain. So you find a cold kid with a watchful brain. Yeah, Carl Rove, you found your flunky. And I know you grind the organ for that dancing monkey. Couldn't run yourself cause you're too soft and weak. So pathetic Pee Wee Herman would call you a geek. You could never play John Wayne like Georgie Boy. Had them country folk back and he's the real McCoy. Use the Bible as a prop, just a game of throne. We got burned by the devil's own. The GOP stand for greedy old peck of woods. If you take away the suit, they're rednecks and hoods. It was never news to us, it was understood that these
Chicken hawks never up to no good. Got a foot in our ass, knife in our back. Sending poor kids off to die in Iraq. While layers of the sorority or a friend drinking Jägermeister, hanging out at the gap.
Yo, Condi, why you smile like you constipated?
Tell that overpaid secretary why she's hating.
Cause you all up on them like some groupie chick. If you're so smart, how you on a dummy's dick? Talking about I'm married to the president. Sounded like a psycho ward resident. See his wife named Pickles and she ain't black. Then again, neither are you. You pass for that. All I see is a token, a broken hope. Getting pimped by the system, it's time you know. Colin Powell had the sense to walk out the door. But you'd follow Bush to hell if he told you so. See, they took away your spine and they propped you up. Just to add a splash of color and seem less corrupt. But you just co-signed to whatever shit they do. As much blood on your hands as the rest of the crew.
The GOP stand for greedy old peck of woods. If you take away the sweet rednecks and hoods, it was never news to us, it was understood. That these chicken hawks never up to no good. Got a foot in our ass, knife in our back. Sending poor kids off to die in Iraq. While layers of the sorority or frat drinking Jägermeister, hanging out at the gap.
Shooter, why they call you dick when you the opposite? Just a gigantic pussy with some crooked lips. When you had a chance to serve a NAM, you just ran a deferment for every finger on your hand. That's 5 blown chances to show some heart, but you ain't got one. Guess that's why you falling apart. Had to get Scooter off with a name that fruity. He'd have given y'all up just to save the booty. Missing every single quail, but your man you shot. I wish you had the decency to close your eyes and rot. Cause I never knew evil till I saw your face. And the devil don't even want you cause you'll take his place. Pulling strings to get your company in a fat no biz. Profiteering off the blood of America's kids. Mr. Cheney, one more bang from all his infidels. You and your Halliburton boys, go fuck yourselves.
The GOP stand for greedy old peck of woods. If you take away the sooty rednecks and hoods, it was never news to us, it was understood. That these chicken hawks never up to no good. Got a foot in our ass, knife in our back. Sending poor kids off to die in Iraq. While layers of the sorority or frat drinking Jägermeister, hanging out at the gap. In 8 years of Clinton, the economy was strong, gas was cheap, mortgage rates low, property values high. Nobody read our emails or listened to our phone calls. And over 4,000 U.S. families had someone they love walking around, full of life. I mean, the worst Clinton did was to shine up an Oval Office. Y'all a bunch of mass murder and subpoena-ignoring traitors and spit on the Constitution. But no matter how low you sink, you'll always have your cheerleaders, right? The Limbaughs, the Hannitys, the Becks, the O'Reillys. Then you got your water carriers. Matt Drudge, Michael Savage, Michelle Malkin, Dennis Prager, Neil Bortz, Melanie Morgan, Bill Cunningham, Laura Ingram, Rich Loudon, Dick Morris, Ann Coulter, and all the other race baiters I forgot. Divide them in country instead of uniteness, just to get a check. There's a special place in the hottest part of hell for all of y'all. Oh, and Joe Lieberman. Senator Joe Lieberman. Y'all can have that whiny bitch.
Well, you tried it just for once, found it alright for kicks. But now you find out that it's a habit that sticks. And you're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. Sneaking in the back door with dirty magazines. So your mother wants to know what all the stains on your jeans. And you're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. But you still keep it beating, you meet to both. And you're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. You're kicking Sonova, you're a no-chose actor. Live on a fucking yourself to death. Orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. Assistants and bellhops, you found them all here and there. Children of God and the joy strings, international women with nobody hair. Ooh, so well you're asking in an alley and your voice ain't steady. The sex mechanics are up, you're more than ready. You're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. Johnny won't fuck you always and always.
there know that for the first time in American history, the U.S. Army was used in a war operation against the American people?
Yes!
Right near here, up in Humboldt County, about 200 miles north of San Francisco, right near a town called Shelter Cove, get this, 300 to 400 American GIs dressed and fully armed with the automatic rifles, armed for battle, fanned out on maneuvers through the woods, backed up by a dozen Black Hawk attack helicopters. The mountain people up there were frightened out of their wits. They thought there was a war going on, especially the ones who had soldiers kicking in the doors to their cabins and putting guns to their heads in front of their children. Why? Who was the enemy in this war? Not the communists, not Saddam Hussein, not Earth First or even the Spotted Owl. No. The enemy. They called out the army to put down secretly so as few people outside of Humboldt would get alarmed as possible. It wasn't even a person or an army or a terrorist group. It was a plant. The marijuana plant. And they actually did find a few for the GIs to pull up, and then they had to fly in more from the government stash so the pile would look big enough when they lit the bonfire for the network TV news cameras so they could say, yes, another triumph in the drug war. Drug war. War. The American army sent to war against the American people. And we're supposed to feel relieved and secure and protected. Protected from what? A lot of people with more guts than I'll ever have risked their life and limb all last summer at the Earth First Redwood Summer Action up in Humboldt County. They were chaining themselves to redwoods that were three times wider than they were spread-eagled. They were 800 years old as the saws buzzed right over their heads. They stood in the dirt as the bulldozers charged them and stopped right at their toes. Or people waved clubs at them, charged them with logging trucks, shotguns, you name it. All to try and save some of the last unspoiled virgin forest we have left anywhere in this country from being chopped down and made into toilet paper, TV guides, and the Weekly World News. On the other side, the loggers saying, what about our jobs? What about our families? What about our lives? You needed wood and cardboard to make those protest signs. We need fuel. We need paper. It's almost gone. Where are we going to get more? The answer for centuries has been right under our nose. Grow more pot. If we're serious about saving the earth, saving the ozone, and our freedom to go about saving the earth and the ozone, we should start by paying all those dirt poor coca farmers in South America and out of work loggers in Fortuna and Eureka and Midwest family farmers and Rust Belt families too to all get together and grow more pot. Why? Get ready for this. There's a book out. It's called The Emperor Wears No Clothes. The author's name is Jack Harar. It's published by Queen of Clubs. I think there's ads for it in High Times or Normal, National Organization for Reform of Marijuana Laws. They could direct you to one, I'm sure. And in this book, among other places, it is written, before the 20th century, the marijuana plant provided almost all the world's paper, all the world's clothing and textiles, and almost all the world's rope. According to none other than the U.S. Department of Agriculture, you can make four times as much paper from an acre of marijuana hemp plants as you can from an acre of trees. And instead of chopping down all the redwoods in Humboldt County and turning Northern California and Oregon and Washington into Appalachia or the Sahara Desert, if you do it with hemp plants, you can just grow another crop a few months later and make more paper. At one quarter the cost of making paper from wood pulp and only one-fifth the pollution. The ancient Romans knew this and grew it. Henry VIII made each farmer in Old England grow their share, because they knew if you want the strongest natural fiber there is, you all got to do your part for the king and grow more pot. And we did, too. Guess what Levi jeans were originally made out of? And guess what American flags used to be made out of? And guess what the early drafts of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution were written on? And if that's too unchristian for you, guess what they made Gutenberg and King James Bibles out of? Guess what you can use to power a car? Can get at least four times as much cellulose to make gasohol or methanol from hemp stems as he can from a corn stalk, which along with solar energy would be a great way to avoid dying for oil in Saudi Arabia. In the 20s and 30s, most American cars and farm machinery had the option of running on gas or on methanol. Most racing cars still do run on methanol. And George Washington and Thomas Jefferson grew cannabis on their plantations and smoked it, too. In the 1760s in the American colonies, you could even be jailed for not growing pot, because that was part of the key to become economically independent from Britain. Hemp was legal tender in America, substitute for money, from 1630 clear up until the early 1800s. And hemp seeds are a great source of protein, better than soybeans. And it's cheaper than soybeans, too. Or so says the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Marijuana is legal for medical use in 34 states. Used to treat glaucoma and pain caused by cancer. You can digest more protein out of a hemp seed than a soybean seed. It's even shown some signs of being able to combat herpes. And guess what kind of a parachute Mr. Drug War Junta Man himself, George Bush, used when he bailed out of that bomber in World War II? Hemp was illegal by then, but farmers were briefly ordered to grow it again in this country for the war effort and all, and the U.S. Army had their own stash all along in the colonies in the Philippines. So, how did everything get turned around so damn bad? Doesn't it strike you as a little dumb that we burn oil and choke ourselves and chop down all our trees and ruin innocent people's lives by branding them criminals and throwing them in jails or sending them off to drug camps or taking all their property and selling it before they're brought to trial? In the process, making crack and heroin cheaper and easier to get than pot. Why do we do this when we don't have to? Meanwhile, the police chief of L.A., Daryl Gates, gets front-page approval for telling a U.S. Senate committee that pot smokers should be shot on sight. Because smoking pot is treason, because after all, it's illegal. Why was marijuana cracked down on? And why was it done so violently? Well, ready? In 1936, Popular Mechanics magazine hailed the invention of a new machine to process hemp, predicting that marijuana hemp would once again become the world's largest cash crop. This did not sit at all well with people like Hearst Paper Manufacturing, or Kimberly-Clark, or other cutthroat multinationals who happened to have large timber holdings. Didn't sit too well with tobacco barons, for obvious reasons. And it sure as hell didn't sit too well with our old buddies DuPont. Hemp processing uses only one-fifth the chemicals needed to process wood pulp, and DuPont had just patented a new wood pulp sulfide process. And DuPont's patented plastic fibers had just passed up hemp as the number two fiber next to cotton, and they wanted to keep it that way. And the last thing the big drug companies wanted was to lose their share of the ever-lucrative disease industry market to more affordable medicine made from marijuana or other natural ingredients because, check this out, you can't own and make money off a patent for medicine in this country unless the medicine has chemicals in it. If it's all natural ingredients, you can't patent it. Maybe that's why we don't have access to a cure for cancer or AIDS, or why the health food store I go to keeps getting harassed by federal authorities for selling herbal medicines. Meanwhile, guess who owns Congress? So, marijuana was outlawed in 1937. And they fanned the racism fires, playing the racism card just like they do when they want to crack down on rock and roll or rap or hip-hop or something like that. They said that smoking marijuana might cause you to fall under the influence of listening to jazz. And I believe it was even said on the floor of Congress that marijuana had to be banned because smoking it might make a black man look at a white woman twice. And let's not forget that U.S. Treasury Department-funded documentary film called Reefer Madness. So marijuana was outlawed as devil weed in 1937. Only 53 years ago, it was legal. Need I say more on why our beloved fearless leaders go out of their way to censor our access to information so damn much? Can you imagine the mass outrage if this kind of stuff ever really got out? And people knew that this so big drug problem they keep reading about and hearing about is being caused by the government themselves? And people knew how easily each one of us individually could turn our ecological and human crisis around without resorting to Nazi bullshit like oil wars and drug wars just by saying no to George Bush? And people knew that the very companies that provide us with such crucial conveniences as Kleenex, paper towels, and junk mail have systematically and brutally rearranged every single one of our lives so that we are literally wiping our ass with our own future. And it doesn't have to be this way. I mean, I'll tell you, I do feel kind of funny saying all this because I used to be a pothead and I hate smoking the stuff and the whole low-energy stoner deadhead vibe that comes with it. But you don't need to smoke pot to realize that the real drug problem in this country is not the drugs. And we can help solve our drug problems, crime problems, environmental problems, even our racial problems, if we say no to George Bush and get together and grow more pot. Ever thought of what a sadomasochistic culture we really have? How much of our emotional pulse really revolves around pain? How many people cling to grim religions based on torture, afraid to break the cycle out of fear of the unknown? It's so much more secure just to hate your own guts. Break down, kneel down, confess, and think of all the horrible things that are going to happen to you if you don't confess. It's a crime to open your eyes. It's a sin to look around and explore too far. Threats from above keep people whipped. Sadomasochism on a stick. And what do we talk about at parties to get attention? Pleasure? Love? We talk about pain. Like showing off the busted leg to the chums in the locker room or at the ski lodge. Or, look at all these gnarly scars I got when I wiped out on my skateboard. War wounds, pain, the proof of purchase of adventure. I crashed and burned, therefore I am alive. When was the last time you heard someone reminisce about the orgasm they had the other day. What kind of reaction do you think they'd get anyway? So far I hear, or say something like that at a department store. It might be, ooh, pervert, guards, take him away. Or in the ever more uptight sectors of our more political than thou underground scene, you might get the reaction, ew, sexist. I mean, I don't agree with a lot of what hip-hop artists like Ice-T or 2 Live Crew or the Ghetto Boys have to say about women, but I do think Ice-T has an interesting point. Imagine what life would be like if we all felt relaxed enough and comfortable around each other that a person of either sex could go up to somebody else of either sex that they secretly found attractive or radiant, lovable, in need of a hug, whatever, you know, male, female, female, male, 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 female, female, just go up and come right out and say, hey, let's get butt naked and fuck. And if the other person responded by saying, no, I don't want to, it wouldn't be such a big, tense, shattering, horrible, degrading deal because the stakes wouldn't be raised so damn high that rejection wouldn't hurt so bad that the other person couldn't just immediately say, oh, okay, that's fine, let's just be friends then. Sure would eliminate a lot of uptight, stupid games. And that, to me, is why so many artists and rap and rock musicians who deal openly with sex and sexuality are being treated as political subversives. But no, you talk about that stuff just about anywhere today. What do you want to bet that the other people around you would kind of cringe and grow a little uncomfortable, maybe smile and go, hunting frantically in the corner of their eye. Won't someone change the subject to something, anything else? It's just too taboo to talk pleasure in this arena. The person who does receives the pain of being shunned. Thus, the lesson is implanted. Fear is the teacher. Next time, think and feel in ways the others can relate to. Tales of wigging out on drugs won't make other people quite so jealous. Don't fight the current or you could be swept out to sea. Remember what sells versus what is untouchable. Avoid the hurt that comes with feeling icky. Filter your feelings through our orbit of pain.
plastic that melted at the chromium too.
Going today. Yeah.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message. I happily agreed to sit it out and ignore what was going on in the election, in the campaign, because they felt that I could make the teabaggers look bad. So I delayed my book, and I tried to stay out of the way, unlike Dick Cheney. But I'm proud of the teabaggers, and I'm proud of the people who want to stop Prop 19, and I'm proud of the legacy we left when we crippled the economy, fucked the environment, and turned back social progress and evolution three giant steps. And I'll be remembering you on November 2nd. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message. Heard the Dickies doing Manny Moe and Jack and Knights in White Satin. The New York Dolls did the funniest spoof on creationists ever on their recent reunion CD. You heard Dance Like a Monkey. Before the New York Dolls, you heard Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention doing Who Are the Brain Police? From the Freak Out CD. Jello Biafra did Grow More Putt and Lost Orgasm from his third spoken word CD, I Blow Minds for a Living. The Buzzcocks did Orgasm Addict. Carlito Brilliante
de GOP, and started off with Michael Hurley doing National Weed Growers Association. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. And tonight we're doing Halloween and Mr. Z's Freedom Celebration. And I was told by these highly intoxicated-looking brethren over here that I didn't really talk that much about Mr. Z. And so what can I say about him? He is on the hippie-ish side, very calm and soft-spoken, and full of humor, a very cool, a very compassionate person, a long history of social activism, environmentalism, social justice, long history of great writings, and a total never-ending history of advocating marijuana legalization and access also to people who need medicinal marijuana. He was arrested and charged with transporting interstate some high number, like 190 tons of marijuana. I forget. I used to say allegedly, but I guess that's a quarter of it. And say, this is the beginning of your fresh new start. But now he has a better job. He's immediately back to work as an advocate of legalizing marijuana. He's pushing for Prop 19, even though it's all the way on the West Coast in California. And I can't say co-founder because it's already kind of half started, but there's a new organization and new writings. I believe it's called ICAN, I-C-A-N, which stands for, I forget, and it's ICAN, I guess, .org. And, of course, advocating for Ibogaine, a natural substance similar to a lesser extent of mushrooms. And in countries that really do believe in freedom, like Holland, some other Scandinavian countries, and a handful of others, it's used very effectively to end addictions to chemical drugs. And in fact, Ibogaine has the best track record of all, and certainly better than, you know, the pharmaceutical way, you know, or the born-again higher power cult way, which have very sad track records regarding successes. But anyway, Mr. Z has been an advocate for Ibogaine and marijuana, and he even was, while he was in prison, sending information for the show, news, things he managed to keep up with through correspondence. And since the word addiction came up, I know that no book burner needs to hear this, but I want to say it just the same because we're doing a weed-related show. The people who say that marijuana is addictive are so full of shit. It's not even funny. If they believe it, they're very misinformed. If they know better than to believe such nonsense, then they are Fox-level propagandists and bullshitters and hysteria mongers who simply do not want to see an increase in the laws that are taking down the expensive billions and billions of tax dollar wasted and incarceration space wasted, war against weed. It is not an addiction. It never has been. It is far less dangerous than tobacco, than a vast majority of the pharmaceutical companies' products, and certainly less than all the toxins and pollutants that the same hysteria mongers say are okay, because that's what our wonderful friends in big business want to profit more from. So addiction is still kind of a propaganda industry for pushing pharmaceuticals, for pushing religion, and also for lumping things together that are not addictions. And as we covered on previous shows, and I'm not really going to go into this, but when addictions industry uses words like love addict and sex addict and porn addict and internet addict and television addict and gambling addict and golf club addict, they are really talking out of their ass, because there is no such thing as any of those. There never has been such thing as any of those. People do have behavioral disorders around those things, but they are not addictions in the world of science and clinical reality and research, what's left of it before the theocrats and holy rollers are done with it. The real definition of addiction is symptomatic of withdrawal, and people just don't roll around on the floor screaming in agony and pounding their face against the floorboards and writhing in agony and pinching their flesh off and screaming in anguish when going without sex. All right, bad example. I have done that. But normally, withdrawal symptoms do not manifest themselves. And so it's actually cheapening people who try to help others with real addictions, whether social workers or others who are advocates for them. So, but in the world of real addictions, ibogaine, the natural plant that grows only in certain rainforests, and I believe only in Africa. So before those are destroyed, hopefully there will be a big stockpile of ibogaine, so that more addiction can be effectively treated. Anyway, Mr. Z is an advocate of all of those things and is a great person. We're doing backflips, even in those guys' condition, that he is fully released and no non-consensual bondage bracelet on his ankle. And he is back to advocating and writing. And we'll pass on the writings that he does for ICANN and whatever else at our website, reverendbookburn.com. Okay, what else? We're going way over time. We have a whole other set, so we're not going to end in 10 minutes. We're going to play another whole set. This will be a super overtime show. Let's see. I can't call Clarence Thomas's wife Asshole of the Week when we get around to those awards, because she already won it as a teabagger queen, starting another corporate baron front group that funds the teabaggers. Even though what she did was like colossal balls and way more than her husband has, she demanded that the woman her husband, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, sexually harassed, apologize to him. And that has to be like public manifestation of stupidity award of the week, for publicly doing that and then telling the whole world that she did something that stupid. But she did. She decided she may as well tattoo on her forehead enabler. And but she did do that, and that was worth acknowledging. And we have some fun with that on ReverendBookburn.com. Some comments that were added to letters to the editor and or comments at websites and the like. All right, let's see. Asshole of the Week is coming. We didn't mention Halloween. We've been talking about Halloween all night. Halloween is coming, and what's really funny is that there's such a surge in witch outfits, thanks to X-Witch. We're okay here. And X-Witch and Delaware Teabagger candidate Christine O'Donnell, the subject of our last show, Bewitched in Delaware. And people are being O'Donnell. And we thought maybe we should have a like a teabagger party if we don't go to the Stewart and Colbert rallies next Saturday. Where it's like, I mean, there are so many of them who are so insane. There could be a Rand Paul. There could be Christine O'Donnell, which is, you know, there's going to be more than one. I know you have somebody in mind. And that teabagger in Ohio who's, I can't even believe this, but he's one of these like Nazi reenactor dress up clowns. And but I don't think it's simply reenactment. I think it's more like their wet dreams, you know, and what they're hoping to build, because it's the same fucking rhetoric, you know, as old Germany. You know, we're going to stop the socialists and the foreigners and blah, 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 and bring back family values and morality and becoming a nation of God. So anyway, there's certainly enough freakazoids to do if we do have a teabagger Halloween party. Anyway, getting talked out, losing my voice. The Dickies are in the background, but we're going to stop that. Timothy Leary is no longer alive. He died in 1996 of cancer. He was born on October 22nd and eons ago. He was even older during the 60s. He was like older than most of the baby boomers and the Beatles and the people who made the 60s, you know, more than just like a scene or a counterculture, you know, but a massive thing. And this CD came out, I believe, after he died. And you can... God, these fucking letters. You can be anything this time around. And where is it? Anyone. You can be anyone this time around. And there's music on this, too, with Timothy Leary speaking on one track that I'm not going to play because it's like 15 fucking minutes. But Stephen Stills, John Sebastian, Jimi Hendrix, and Buddy Miles are playing music on the Live and Let Live track. But we're going to play a different track from the Birthday Boy, the shortest one, which is entitled What Do You Turn On When You Turn On?
Live and let live. Live and let live. We say to every human being, black, white, left, right, brother, sister, live and let live. Human brothers and sisters, let's live and let live. The aim of the game is to feel real good.
Caterna,
when they turn up of the galaxy.
What do you turn on when you turn on?
Turn off.
Free
energy. Structure. Release. Control. Turn on. Turn off.
What do you turn on when you turn
the oscillating rhythm of turn on. Turn off. Expansion. Contraction. Turn on. Turn off. The body breathing to the old basic rhythm. Turn on. Turn off. Open. Close. In. Out. Contract. Release. Speed up. Slow down. Get free. Get hooked. The cellular trip is through the body. But proportions remain astronomical. The mammalian body. The human body. Comprehensively galactic. Trillions of cells centering around structured organs, all interconnected, humming with market transactions, weather reports, pollution ratings, stellate arterioles, watery canals jammed with plasma planets, hematological mesnerian clusters, white corpuscle comets, endocrine spaceships commuting, the whole monstrous galaxy leaping through terrestrial networks of living forms, all in communication. An 18-inch layer of slime covering a metal rock planet and every isolated organism around a 25,000-mile breeding island in close connection to the one whole, the biological web. Reincarnation center, densely packed genetic energy, an outward bound from this compressed center, a web of molecules weaving the cellular fabric,
what do you
exchanging, expanding, hooking into the organic network surrounding. The cerebral headquarters, ringed by a sensory do-line of billion cell stations for receiving and transmitting energies from within and from without the somatic galaxy. The common sense organs, odor, taste, touch, balance, temperature, posture, movement, light waves, night waves, sound words. Each sense organ operates on the same rhythm. On, off.
Turn on.
Open up.
When you turn
close down. Alternating current. While the body galaxy centers on a densely packed DNA strand, every organ constellation within the body zodiac orbits around the brain.
What do you turn on?
The brain.
When you turn on.
Galactic headquarters of the nervous system. Filling corporeal space with flashing electric messages.
What do you turn
out and back, off
on, turn on.
Synaptic conversations. The cunning amino acid architects, snugly protected in miniaturized General Motor plant engineering cell chambers, design more and more complex fissure bodies.
When you
this year's standard equipment, a 13 billion cell brain hooked up to stereophonic audition receivers, bifocal self-modulating auto-tuning retinal video cameras, cell battery-powered kinesthetic magic eye shock adjusters, gustatory liquid analyzers, and lingual pollution detectors, self-regulatory nasal gas traps for analysis and evaluation of aerial chemical content. Energy moves, structure captures. Around and around floating somatic constellations, cycling, circling, the major structures have been identified for millennia by astrobiologists, philosopher priests, healers, observers of the fleshly heavens. Each unit of energy in this cosmic dance, charged with attraction-repulsion forces, pulling towards, escaping from, intensely contracted nuclear energy at galactic center explodes, scattering suns hurtling out across a million light years. Each stellar fragment, itself highly charged, spins through web fabric fields of radiant energy.
What do you turn on when you turn on?
Well, they'll stone you when you're trying to be so good. They'll stone you just to like they said they would. They'll stone you when you're trying to go home. They'll stone you when you're there all alone. But I would not feel so all alone. Everybody must get stoned. Well, they'll stone you when you're walking along the street. They'll stone you when you're trying to keep your feet. They'll stone you when you're walking on the floor. They'll stone you when you're walking to the door. But I would not feel so all alone. Everybody must get stoned. Da 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 da. Well, they'll stone you when you're at the breakfast table. They'll stone you when you are young and able. They'll stone you when you're trying to make a buck. They'll stone you, and then they'll say good luck. Tell you what, I would not feel so all alone. Everybody must get stoned. Da 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 da. Well, they'll stone you and say that it's the end. They'll stone you and they'll come back again. They'll stone you when you're riding in your car. They'll stone you when you're playing your guitar. But I would not feel so all alone. Everybody must get stoned. Da 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 da. Well, they'll stone you when you walk all alone. They'll stone you when you are walking home. They'll stone you and then say you are brave. They'll stone you when you are set down in your grave. But I would not feel so all alone. Everybody must get stoned. And now for something completely different. Johnny's in the basement, mixing up the medicine. I'm on the pavement, I'm thinking about the government. The man in a trench coat badge got laid off. Says he's got a bad cop, once you get it paid off. Look out, kid, there's something you did. Well, God knows when, but you're doing it again. You better duck down the alleyway, looking for a new friend. The man in the coonskin cap and a pig net wants $11 bills, and you've only got 10. Oh, Maggie Carl's wheat foot, face full of black slip, talking that the heat put lamps in a big book. Bones tapped anyway, but Maggie says that many say they must bust a girl in a quarters with the DA. Look out, kid, don't matter what you did. You walk on your tiptoes, don't tie no bows. Better stay away from those who carry around a fire hose. Keep a clean nose, watch the plane, cause you don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. No, sir. Right here in River City. Well, get sick, get well, hang around the inkwell, hang bail, hot tail. If anything it's going to sell, try hard, get mugged, get bad, light rail, get jail, jump bail, join the army if you fail. Look out, kid, you're going to get hit by losers, cheaters, six-time users, hang around the theaters. Go by the whirlpools looking for a new pool, don't follow leaders, watch the parking meters. True death, bro, true death. Oh, get bored, keep warm, short pants, romance, learn to dance, get dressed, get blessed, and try to be a success. Please her, please him, buy gifts, don't steal, don't them. 20 years of school and they put you on a day shift. Look out, kid, they keep it all in. You better jump down a manhole, light yourself a candle. Don't wear sandals and you try to avoid the scandal. Don't want to be a bum, you'd better shoot out the pump. Don't work, cause the vandals took the handles. And then they played the legend of Pat Brown. With no original members. And there was much rejoicing.
This is Dr. Greed, and I am outraged and disgusted by all the shenanigans that are going on here. I am appalled by the calls for health care, legalizing marijuana, and advocating for people who have Medicaid or no insurance. I love nothing better than sending away somebody who has Medicaid from my clinic. And now these shenanigans are going to continue with yet another disgusting song. This one by the Bleeding Hearts, entitled Rehab Girl.
She's the biggest fan. That's a fact. This I forgot. She's gonna live without it if she can. Just stop and give it a whirl. Let it an oyster it came out of her. Cause I'm in love with a rehab girl, yeah.
She's the proportion has fallen, Grateful Dead and the White Plague breaking black words to distract you from the
sainted tea bagging party. People, these tea parties were not I hate Obama rallies. No, they weren't. These were to let Congress know that the people are dissatisfied with what they're doing at the moment. I get asked all the damn time why we did not protest when our dear President Bush was in office. And I tell him that we loved everything he did. Besides, someone emailed me that our dear President Bush was doing his own teabagging in private. I guess that's in support of our efforts. Bless him. I was told that we right-wing GOP types sure seem to love our teabags. They say that some of us even go from party to party, getting teabagged again and again and again. I have no idea what they mean, but bring the teabagging on. Hey, you all, can I secede from America? All hail teabagging. This is Dr. Laura Hoa saying keep your bags close and your baggers closer. And teabag a liberal Dem before they teabag you. Bye-bye.
Yes, it's that very special time once again. It's time for Asshole of the Week. And we have runner-ups. Runner-up number one for Asshole of the Week. Oh, you're right, Father. Father John Necraptus. The date. Sunday, October 24th, 2010 at VoltaRadio.com, ReverendBookburn.com, and RadioForAll.net. Tonight, the first runner-up is a front group for the health insurance industry, launching deceptive propaganda attack ads in the name of seniors. How low can you go? Yes, the health industry connected and far right and teabagger connected coalition to protect seniors. So these lying sacks of shit are the first runners up. The second runner up to Asshole of the Week is Stephen Stephen Broden. It's the handwriting and we need better luck. Stephen Broden is a teabagger running for the House of Representatives this November 2nd in Texas. Yes, the state that gave this nation Bush and Perry. As Stephen Broden, who has stated that if things don't go the way of the teabaggers, that a violent uprising is, quote, on the table, spoken like his heroes in the militia and Tim McVeigh and the anti-choice terrorists, but more open about it. This armed psychopath is the second runner-up to Asshole of the Week and a teabagger candidate on the Republican Party for the House of Representatives. If he wasn't, he would surely be committed. We need a fart sound. Where's the fart sound? Starting with Cheech from Cheech and Chong.
Oh, shit, man! Put out a warning when you do one of those, man!
Thank you. So, since he is not committed to a psychiatric hospital, which he should be, instead he is a Republican candidate for the House of Representatives in the teabagger wing, which is like pretty much all of them. And that leads us to a very special recipient who never got the award before. Someone so special as someone who can outshine the runners up. Tonight, Asshole of the Week is Robert Rowling. Not like rolling a joint. It's R-O-W-L-I-N-G. Robert Rowling is the owner and CEO of Gold's Gym. So that means anybody who's a member of Gold's Gym, you are unknowingly contributing to an asshole who has just given $2 million as a donation to the organization run by Bush's Goebbels, Karl Rove, and Karl Rove's teabagger type organization of total psychopaths called American Crossroads, part of the rising far right, etc. Robert Rowling, who uses money from probably mostly unsuspecting people who are members, gave $2 million to Karl Rove's organization, American Crossroads. Robert Rowling, you are Asshole of the Week. Let's kill the fart sounds. You heard Ms. Terry from RadioLeft.com doing Dr. Laura Hoare the 2009 version. Ruin did White Rabbit. And yes, more Jello Biafra, this time music. Jello Biafra and the Melvins did their song making fun of the corporate scab new version of the Dead Kennedys, entitled Those Dumb Punk Kids Will Buy Anything, from their Sig Howdy CD, Jello Biafra and the Melvins. Before that, The Professionals, with two ex-members of the Sex Pistols in the early 80s. The Professionals did their cover of an Avengers song. When the Avengers song came out, it was called Second to None, but here, on their CD, I Didn't See It Coming, the song is entitled 1, 2, 3. Before that, Reverend Bookburn's animation theme. Before that, the Bleeding Hearts did Rehab Girl. Knob Dylan and his Knob Salites did Subterranean Homesick Blues. And started off with Timothy Leary and Friends doing What Do You Turn On When You Turn On? This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight the theme has been Halloween and Mr. Z's Freedom Celebration. And Mr. Z, we love you, brother. And we are elated that you are free, even though, of course, you are focusing only on what lies ahead and freeing everybody else and changing the laws and ending the idiotic war against weed and other social justices. We're happy that you are out. And also happy Halloween to everybody. If you go to the rally to restore sanity of John Stewart's and or Stephen Colbert's rally to keep fear alive, have a great time. And if you can't go, I believe you can watch it on Comedy Central. We will be back November 7th after Erection Day. Next show, November 7th, and with the theme Surviving Corporate Rule. And then at the end of the month, November 28th, we will be doing another sacred annual holiday tradition, the Happy Spanksgiving show, Happy Spanksgiving 2010. And of course, every show is a foreplay for the 10th anniversary show this coming January. Write to the Reverend Rev Bookburn at sjcdc.org. Check out updates, all the playlists, lots of links and goodies that are worthwhile, including music video links at reverendbookburn.com. Yes, the site had to be changed for some technical reason, but it's an automatic redirect, so you can click reverendbookburn.com. On YouTube, youtube.com/RevBookburn. On MySpace, myspace.com/ReverendBookburn. On Facebook, where they don't allow Rev to be a first name, it's The Rev, last name Bookburn. And on the info tab, there is a link to Pages, the Reverend Bookburn fan site. See you on November 7th. And we had a hard time choosing a farewell song to close tonight's show. But we thought most Halloweens with us includes at least one song by the Misfits. But then I thought, I'm getting predictable if I do that. So you're going to get a Misfits song, but as covered by the great Jenna Torturers. And yes, I've been on a big Jenna Torturers kick again lately. From this awesome CD entitled Flesh is the Law. This is the Jenna Torturers covering the Misfits song All Hell Breaks Loose. Good night.
special announcement. The party's not over yet, people. I'm going to be doing some celebrating of my own. On a separate show under the banner of Flock with No Shepherd. That's right. I haven't done a show in a while, and it will be a musical celebration indeed. Plus, it will stick with the Halloween and weed theme. And I'm gonna take some time with it. Be on the watch out for that. Greetings from me to Mr. Z. Happy Halloween. And see ya! If you're wondering who this is in the background, this is from an album that really made me a jazz consumer. It's by Jimmy Smith and it's called The Cat. Thank you.